Hello everyone, today is Wednesday, May 27th, which means that we have another video from the genealogy of Jesus that's found in Matthew chapter 1. But before we dive into that, I just want to remind you that if you haven't seen Pastor's sermon on Sunday or his video yesterday, I just want to let you know that we are opening the church for our regular worship service this Sunday. And I'm excited to be able to gather together with all of you again. But we need to be mindful about how we meet with everything that's been going on. So I just want to remind you of some of the changes and safety measures that we're putting into place as we begin to gather again. So in the worship center, the rows have been set 6 feet apart to ensure that we're maintaining social distance. And you can sit with your family right next to each other. So everyone in your family can sit together. But we're asking that you sit 4 chairs apart from anyone who's not in your family. So as you go in there, someone's already sitting down, go ahead and count off 4 chairs and then sit down there. We're also asking that everyone except for small children wear masks. And so if you don't have a mask, we will have some available at the door. But if you do, we just encourage you to bring that and wear that. We will not be passing any plates, so we won't be passing the offering plates. We're going to have a couple of baskets for you to put your offerings in as you leave the service at the end. And we're also going to be dismissing by rows. And we're asking that you don't linger in the foyer as we're exiting. Just go ahead and leave the worship center and then head outside. We are also going to have the fellowship hall, this back half of the church, closed off, so no one will be going back there. And we're also asking that you contact people who you know who maybe don't get the emails or don't watch these videos, to contact them and to let them know what's going on. We don't want to leave anyone out. So if you know there's someone who's not getting these messages, we ask that you would reach out to them and just let them know that we are opening up again this coming Sunday. And you know, I'm really excited about this, and I hope that you are too. If you have any questions or are wondering why we're doing the things that we are doing as we open up, I would just recommend that you listen to Pastor Paul's video from yesterday, and he's going to do another one tomorrow specifically about our attitude and how we meet. I don't recommend watching it, however. When I saw it for the first time, it made me kind of want to throw up. So check it out at your own risk. There's an audio version below the video on our website. So if you watch them through our website, just scroll past the video, play the audio version only. That's probably for the best. But in completely unrelated news, I am looking for someone to help me change the locks on the door to my church office. If you're free, I'd really appreciate some help there. For those of you who maybe haven't seen the video yet, you don't know why I'm saying these things. But Pastor Paul snuck into my office and recorded his video with an abomination hanging on the wall where my Michigan flag is. And some of you might be thinking, why would Pastor Paul do something so cruel to Michael? But I don't want you to worry about our relationship. We're actually getting along quite well. We're actually getting along so well that he has started to take my advice. Now, I've been telling him since he started here that he should read The Lord of the Rings. And he has finally started. I even have proof. Look at this picture from his video way back on April 9th. Oh, wow, look, I've forgotten what he looked like with hair. But look on his bookshelf right here. Let me zoom in for you. It isn't very clear, but these two books are The Two Towers and The Return of the King, books 2 and 3 of The Lord of the Rings. Now, I can only conclude that he has book 1, The Fellowship of the Ring, at home, where he reads it to relax after a long, hard day. Anyway, as you can tell, we're getting along quite well. We're enjoying one another's company during quarantine. So I don't want you to worry about that. So let's go ahead and dive in to God's Word. Today, we are looking at Rehoboam from the genealogy of Jesus. So my intentions for Rehoboam are the same as what we did with Zerubbabel last week. I just want to do a quick overview of his life and reign. And then I just want to highlight a couple of key passages for us to look at and see what we can learn from him. So Rehoboam was the fourth king of Israel. Saul was first, and then there was David and Solomon and Rehoboam. So Rehoboam is David's grandson. Now Rehoboam actually gets a lot of criticism because it was under his reign that the kingdom was divided. But we should remember that the Lord told Solomon that he was going to divide the kingdom and take the majority away from him because of Solomon's sin. Solomon was a great king in some ways, and he started out really well. But in his old age, he made a lot of mistakes. And one of those mistakes led to the division of the kingdom. But God said that he wasn't going to divide the kingdom during Solomon's reign, but during his son. But that being said, Rehoboam was not guiltless during the split. Under Solomon, the people had been taxed heavily. And they came to Rehoboam to ask for him to release them of such a heavy burden. And the elders, the advisors of Solomon, who were still around, they told Rehoboam that if he listened, the people would serve him for his entire reign. Unfortunately, Rehoboam did not take their advice, and instead he listened to the advice of the friends that he had grown up with, who had been around him, and they told him that they should make things even harder, that he should tax them even more, and that he should discipline them more severely. And so that's what Rehoboam does. He listens to his friends. And that's what he tells the people. And the people, unsurprisingly, turn away from Rehoboam and they align themselves with Jeroboam, and the kingdom split. Rehoboam gets angry, he returns to Jerusalem, and he raises up an army to attack the northern tribes and to reassert his command over them. But before he can attack, God sends the prophet to Rehoboam, telling him to not attack them because what is happening is from God. And he still knows enough about God and is not foolish enough to go against him. And so they return home. And from that day, the kingdom was divided into two kingdoms, the northern 10 tribes known as Israel and the southern 2 tribes of Judah. But after this, Rehoboam actually begins well. Jeroboam in the north had set up these golden calves for the people to worship, because he didn't want them returning to the temple in Jerusalem and to turn their allegiance back to Rehoboam. So as a result of this idolatry, many of the faithful Levites and the priests, they went to Judah. They left their homes in the northern tribes and they went to Jerusalem. Rehoboam was surrounded by faithful priests who directed his path. He followed their advice, and perhaps he had learned from his prior mistakes, and he followed the Lord. But after a few years as kings, he felt that he was established, that he was strong, he was secure. He abandoned the law of God, and he took all of Israel with him. They forsook God, and because of this, God raised up an Egyptian king, and he attacked Judah, and he conquered all of the fortified cities and made its way all the way to Jerusalem. And so the Lord sent a prophet to Rehoboam and to his princes, and he told them that because they had turned away from him, the Lord had given them over to the Egyptians. And Rehoboam actually humbles himself and he repents, and he even states, "The Lord is righteous." And so when God sees that they had humbled themselves, he does not destroy them, but he still gives them over to the hands of the Egyptian. Rehoboam serves Egypt all of his reign. The riches of the palace and the temple are plundered by the Egyptians, and the splendor of his father's wealth, of Solomon's temple, the beauty of that temple that he had so cherished, split the nation. And he was willing to split the nation because he was so caught up in the wealth and splendor. That was now gone. Rehoboam reigned a total of 17 years, and those years were full of conflict between Israel and Judah. The people of God were divided, fighting with one another, forsaking the law of God. 2 Chronicles 12:14 sums up the reign of Rehoboam. It says, "And he did evil, for he did not set his heart to seek the Lord." Rehoboam was the grandson of David, a man after God's own heart. and he did evil because he did not set his heart to seek the Lord. That's such a sad departure in such a short time. But what can we take away from Rehoboam? What does this king have to do with us today? There are a couple things that I want us to take note of. First, and probably the most obvious and most common application that we draw from Rehoboam, is to be careful who we listen to. We need to listen to wise counsel. 1 Kings 12:8 says, "But he abandoned the counsel that the old men gave him and took counsel with the young men who he had grown up with and stood before him." Rehoboam was given good advice by the elders of Israel, yet he chose to listen to his friends because they told him what he wanted to hear. Because of this, he lost faith in the people, or he lost the faith of the people, and the kingdom was divided. His friends gave him terrible advice, and it blew up in his face. We need to be people who heed the advice of others. Young men and women, we need to be ready and eager to hear the advice of those who have gone before us. We need to learn from their wisdom. Listen to these proverbs. This is Proverbs 12:15. "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice." And then Proverbs 11:14 says, "Where there is no guidance, a people fails, but in an abundance of counselors, there is safety." Don't just assume that you are always right. Every one of us needs to listen to counsel. We must be humble enough to admit that our point of view isn't always correct. And that goes for the young people and the older people. Age does not automatically make you wise. We must accept that our point of view isn't always correct. We must accept that we are all wrong at some point in our life. We all have blind spots, and we must listen to the advice of those we trust. Proverbs 27:6 says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy." We need people who will tell us the truth. We don't need people who just always agree with us, always tell us what they think we want to hear. We need people who will tell us the truth. A good friend knows that it is the loving thing to do to give good counsel, to tell a person what they need to hear, even if it hurts. That is better than having someone who just flatters us and agrees with us and will just always do whatever they want or whatever they think we want them to do. Those people disappear when things go poorly. We need wise counselors. And finally, Proverbs 1:7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." We must weigh all the counsel we get against Scripture. Just because it comes from someone we trust does not mean that it should automatically be obeyed. We must look at everything through the lens of Scripture, the fear of the Lord. Above all, what does God say about your situation? That's what Rehoboam failed to do. He was given good advice, but then he discarded it and he did what he wanted to do, not what he thought was right according to the law of God. Listen to God, obey God, and trust in counselors who tell you to do the same. Don't just listen to me just because of who I am. Weigh what I say against Scripture. Rehoboam started with a mistake, but then when he was surrounded by Levites who moved to Jerusalem, he did well. He listened to them and he grew secure and strong by listening to good advice and obeying what God had said to do. 2 Chronicles 11:17 says, "They," referring to the Levites, "strengthened the kingdom of Judah, and for 3 years they made Rehoboam the son of Solomon secure, for they walked for 3 years in the way of David and Solomon." When listening to good counsel, Rehoboam was strong and secure. But listen to what happens next in 2 Chronicles 12:1. "When the rule of Rehoboam was established and he was strong, he abandoned the law of the Lord and all of Israel with him." And this brings us to our next point. And it's the point I want to close with. If there was one thing that plagued Rehoboam's reign above everything else, it was his pride. Rehoboam is the perfect illustration of what happens if we let our pride run unhindered. Rehoboam listened to his young friends over the older, wiser men because of his pride. He felt he knew better. He felt that he was too important. He felt that he was deserving of the people's loyalty because of who he was, regardless of what he did. He abandoned the law of God because he thought that he was secure. He thought that he was strong enough that he no longer needed to rely on God. He believed that he had done it on his own and he no longer needed to obey God. Now, I've talked a lot about pride in these videos, but that's because it's so incredibly important for us to understand. Pride is underneath so many of the things that we do, so many of the things that we struggle with. No matter how old you are, no matter what your circumstances is, no matter how mature you are in the faith, pride is an issue. No matter how wise you are a fool if you let pride live in your heart. No matter how many times you have done the right thing, you are only one misstep away from being consumed by pride. I was an incredibly prideful teenager, and I'm frankly embarrassed by how I thought of myself when I was in high school. The whole world revolved around me. Well, I thought that the whole world revolved around me, and I got mad when it didn't. But we face the same challenge today. Right now, we're in a very delicate place. There are strong disagreements over how things should be handled with this coronavirus, how we should approach gathering together on Sunday. There are probably some people who are unhappy with the measures that we are taking as a church. There are actually some churches that are splitting over decisions about masks and whether or not they should reopen. Now, I'm sure that there are some of you who probably don't understand why you have to wear a mask to come to church. Some of you probably don't like that we're not going to be able to sit next to one another, hug one another, shake hands, or do any of that after being apart for so long. I'm not exactly a big fan of it either. But there are others who don't think that we are doing enough. Some might think that it's dangerous for us to gather together. Some will probably stay home out of fear of a second wave of this thing. And that's okay, and we should. And if you're sick, you should absolutely stay home. But we must remember that the world does not revolve around us. We should not be clinging to our rights to gather and our right to not wear a mask and to not get to go where we want to go. We should be clinging to Christ. We should remember that we are supposed to love one another. We are supposed to serve one another. We are supposed to think of others more highly than we do ourselves. Now, I don't like wearing a mask. It isn't comfortable. And worst of all, every breath I take fogs up my glasses and I can't see. But this isn't about me. I'm wearing a mask because of the person who works in the medical field and doesn't want to risk the patients that they interact with because they came to church and no one had a mask on. I will wear a mask for the person who is at risk for this disease for any number of reasons, but they still want to come to church because they miss the gathering together with other believers. We think of others first. We should not be fighting over minor inconveniences to our own lives if it hinders our love for others. We must think first of others before we think of ourselves. Rehoboam thought only of himself, and he split the kingdom. He thought he had earned everything on his own, and he faced wars all of his reign. He thought that he was strong and secure, and he was subjected to a foreign kingdom. Pride can ruin everything. It can destroy you. If you find yourself thinking too much of yourself, repent. Humble yourself. Remember that you are who you are and where you are by the grace of God alone. All who are in Christ are there by grace and grace alone. And all who are in Christ are to follow his example. Christ did not come to be served. He did not come to make much of himself. He came to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for us. And that is the example that we are called to follow. We are to think of others first, to cast away pride. Learn from the pride of Rehoboam. Beware of pride. Humble yourself. Think of others first. Love others first. And I'm happy to say that I will see you on Sunday.